You have no doubt heard that Pope Francis has approved the blessing of same-sex marriages. You have no doubt heard that that's not really true as well. So first, let's do the Pope-splaining, shall we? Because unfortunately, it is necessary. Then I'll tell you what I think is really going on. This is from the website Vatican News, an article titled Doctrinal Declaration Opens Possibility of Blessing Couples in Irregular Situations. And I'm just going to quote part of the article. It's hard to distinguish what's an actual quote from the document from the Vatican and what's the author of the article's fill-in. But I'll try to put what's quoted in the article from the official Vatican statement on the screen. It reads, "This is what is stated the Declaration Fiducia Supplicants on the Pastoral Meeting of Blessings, published by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith and approved by Pope Francis. Fiducia Supplicants begins with the introduction by the Prefect Cardinal Victor Fernandez, who explains that the declaration considers the, quote, pastoral meaning of blessings, end quote, allowing a, quote, broadening and enrichment of the classical understanding, unquote, through a theological reflection based on the pastoral vision of Pope Francis, stating as inadmissible rites and prayers that could create confusion between what constitutes marriage and what contradicts it. By avoiding any implication that something that is not marriage is being recognized as marriage, when a blessing is invoked on certain human relationships through a special liturgical rite, the declaration notes it is necessary that what is being blessed corresponds with God's designs written in creation. Therefore, the Church does not have the power to impart a liturgical blessing on irregular or same-sex couples. It also is necessary to avoid the risk of reducing the meaning of blessings to this point of view only, expecting for a simple blessing. The same moral conditions for a simple blessing that are called for in the reception of the sacraments. After analyzing blessings in Scripture, the declaration offers a theological pastoral understanding. Those who ask for a blessing show themselves, quote, to be in need of God's saving presence in their lives by expressing a petition for God's assistance, a plea to live better. This request should be received and valued outside of a liturgical framework when found in a realm of greater spontaneity and freedom. When seeing them from the perspective of popular piety, blessings should be evaluated as acts of devotion. Those requesting a blessing should not be required to have prior moral perfection as a precondition, the declaration notes. Exploring this distinction based on the response of Pope Francis to the dubia published last October that called for discernment on the possibility of forms of blessing requested by one or more persons that do not convey an erroneous conception of marriage, the declaration affirms that this kind of blessing is offered to all without requiring anything. Their Heavenly Father continues to will their good and to hope that they will ultimately open themselves to the good. There are several occasions when people spontaneously ask for a blessing, whether on pilgrimages, at shrines, or even on the street when they meet a priest, and these blessings are meant for everyone. No one is to be excluded from them. While it is not appropriate to establish procedures or rituals for such cases, the ordained minister may join in the prayer of those persons who, although in a union that cannot be compared in any way to a marriage, desire to entrust themselves to the Lord and His mercy, to invoke His help, and to be guided to a greater understanding of His plan of love and of truth. Recognizing themselves to be destitute and in need of His help, do not claim a legitimization of their own status, but who beg that all that is true, good, and humanly valid in their lives and their relationships be enriched, healed, and elevated to the presence of the Holy Spirit. A brief prayer preceding this spontaneous blessing, the ordained minister could ask that the individuals have peace, health, a spirit of patience, dialogue, and mutual assistance, but also God's light and strength to be able to fulfill His will completely. When a couple in an irregular situation or same-sex couples ask for a blessing, it should never be imparted in accordance with the ceremonies of a civil union and not even in connection with them, nor can it be performed with any clothing gestures or words that are proper to a wedding. This kind of blessing may instead find its place in other contexts, such as a visit to a shrine, a meeting with a priest, a prayer recited in a group, or during a pilgrimage. So, as you can see, the Church is not changing its teaching on same-sex unions or giving the union the same kind of blessing a real marriage would have. It's just allowing for a generic blessing outside of the liturgy or even a civil ceremony, going so far as to say that people cannot be, quote, dressed for the occasion, so to speak. It simply allows the priest to bless the couple, but not the union, when approached spontaneously, just like you or I would ask for a blessing from a priest after Mass. Well, the first problem is it doesn't matter how much you water it down or try to distinguish between blessing the couple and not the union, which there is no real distinction, it is still allowing the church to bless sin, which is sacrilegious and offensive to God. It says, well, these kind of general blessings cannot be denied anyone. Okay, fine. Then bless them individually. Don't bless them together or bless their relationship. And let's face it, that's what this document sets out to do, regardless of how ambiguous it is. Otherwise, there would be no need to issue it. Second, they put all these restrictions on it saying you can't do it this way and you can't do it that way, but we all know all those things are going to happen. People are going to dress for it. Some priest is going to write a blessing that they will all use and will become the norm, and priests are going to show up at the courthouse and give this blessing. And when the trads point these instances out, the Pope splainers and Vatican fanboys are going to say, read the document, they aren't doing it right, they're being disobedient, and blah, 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 blah. When the reality is this shouldn't be allowed at all under any circumstances. But here's what's really going on. And I'm talking about the big picture here, not just this particular situation. The church is being controlled by the enemies of God, and they're trying to destroy it. Now, whether Francis is in on it or just surrounded by these people who are giving him bad advice, I don't know, and I'm not going to get into it. But here's the point. There's a line, and they can't cross that line, and they know they can't cross it, or God will smite them. But they also know that most Catholics, let alone the average person, doesn't know where the line is or that it even exists. The charism of protection from error, which is the line, is with the extraordinary magisterium only. It's with infallibility and dogmatic statements only. And it's a negative charism. It's a protection against error, not a demand to teach the truth. That's why all this stuff is an exception to the rule, to stay under the line. Under these circumstances, you can do this or you can do that. But then the boots on the ground, the priests and the religious implement the exception as the rule. Communion in the hand, no longer abstaining from meat on Fridays, altar girls, Eucharistic ministers. That's right, these are all exceptions. Since and including the Second Vatican Council, the Church has said nothing dogmatic or infallible except maybe the ban on contraception. It's all these exceptions that become the rule. And if you don't go along with it, you get punished, ostracized, etc. It's why the Second Vatican Council declared itself not to be infallible and having made no dogmatic statements. Pope Paul VI said so himself. And Pope Francis has said virtually nothing anyone has to pay any attention to. Interviews with the secular media mean nothing. Not only are they not infallible, we don't have to give any adherence to anything he says because it's not the proper channel to address the faithful. He is simply giving his opinion. The same goes for when he speaks about things that don't pertain to faith and morals, like climate change, economics, the UN, etc. It's just noise. The few things that he has said we have to pay attention to, he's gotten challenged on and corrected, such as the Abu Dhabi statement and Amoris Laetitia, because they were vague and not infallible. But they know most people think every word that comes out of his mouth is supposed to be infallible and that it will cause confusion. And that's by design. They know they can't actually bless these unions, but they can give the impression that they are. And they know the non-Catholic media, which is where most people will hear about this, aren't going to make these theological distinctions. And if they do, it certainly won't be in the headlines. So why are they doing this? So you will leave the Catholic Church or not join, thus damning your soul. Whether they explicitly want that individually or not, I don't know. But the person who's behind all this, Satan, certainly wants that. He wants you to go to hell. And without the Catholic Church, nobody's getting saved. I got a comment from a YouTuber on two of my videos stating that he is leaving the Catholic Church over this new blessing of same-sex unions. Well, you're giving them exactly what they want. If you want to foil their evil plan to destroy the church, stay Catholic and demand tradition. We were warned about all of this through Catholic prophecy and apparitions of Our Lady. Those prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes. But if they were right about this, then they're right about what comes next. Just as these people believe they've won, God will act. They will be removed from the situation, and the church will be restored beyond its former glory, through the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, then the heir of peace. So stay Catholic no matter what happens, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. Until my next video, God bless.